Well, any of you that's been out any time this week and seen how beautiful the night was with the moon shining so bright, it would be hard for a man to look up at something like that and not realize that there really is a God. And you know, it's amazing at how few people in the world can look at the handiwork of God and think it all come about by accident. And you know, there's such great blessings in looking at the things of God. I can look up in the in the sky at the stars and just marvel at the shapes of things that you see in the sky and how far a distance it is between all them stars that formed that. And yet the God that hung them up there knew that from earth, us looking up, just what it would appear to be. And, you know, it's just so amazing to just stop and contemplate the intelligence and the vastness of a God that could figure out all of that and put it there for us to enjoy. You know, He could have left the dark sky that we looked up and it was just blackness. The stars do not have to be there for us to exist, as far as any man knows here on the face of the earth. They was put there because God chose to hang them there for us to enjoy and to use for guidance, but for us to enjoy. And a God that does such wonderful things for human beings that's so unthankful is really amazing. The kind of love that God had, we cannot begin to comprehend. If you'd like to read with us in the third chapter of Acts, the 19th verse, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Listen to that again, the first part of that. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Then over in the 22nd chapter of Luke, and the 32nd verse, and this is Christ speaking, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." This is Christ speaking unto Peter. And he said, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Then here in this 19th verse said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." And, you know, what's on our mind today is that word, being converted. We're living in a day and a world where that man has lost the knowledge of recognizing what God is speaking of when He's talking about being converted. We think, well, if I make a decision or a profession of faith, then I am converted. You and I, to convert something means to change it, doesn't it? You can take a car that has a top up, and if it's a convertible, that top can be put down. And it changes that car the way it looks totally. You can take something that looks like one thing, and if you convert it into something else, then it's no longer what it was, but it has become something else. Well, God wants you and I to be converted from that old man of the world into that new man, a new woman in Christ Jesus, that we might not be as we were when we first come to the Lord, but that we might be converted into that God would have us to be. And if there's ever been a time that America needs people that have been converted into a true born-again Christian, it's today. We have people from the Congress and the Senate, from the White House right on down saying that they've been a Christian, but yet they've never been converted from that old man. They still have the same desire. They still have the same life. They're still the same person that they were. They haven't changed anything except in word. God wants you and I to be changed from the inside out. When we've been converted and he's talking up here, he says, strengthen the brother. Pass on that you've got under those that you need, that they might see just exactly what God requires. And you know, if we haven't been converted, then according to this 19th verse, then our sins really hasn't been blotted out, has it? Because if we haven't been born again, if we haven't been forgiven and that new change come in, then that lets us know our sins still remain. And you and I, when we come to the Lord, God does not forgive us of our sin and leave us the same as we were. But he changes. We become a new creature in Christ. When we're born again, we're no longer the same. But we have a new hunger, a new desire, and a new life within our lives. Of the things that used to be, the things that we like, we no longer do. But the things that we used to hate, going to church and worshiping God, things we love, the little hymns that we didn't like to listen to, we want to have the radio on with some kind of jumping music, something that jump without definition, but it did nothing for the soul, and we didn't want to hear that would touch our heart, that would help us to realize that we was a fine man, pointed under there. But you and I, once we get right with God, then our life changed. And we want to listen to those hymns and Christian music that can give us joy within our soul. You know, the music that most of the world listens to, when that song is gone, that's it. But if you ever listen to some gospel song that really got a hold of your heart, and though it might have been the first time you heard it, 30 minutes or an hour later, you were still trying to sing those words over and over again. Why? Because it was something there that reached out and touched me. It fed your soul. And you and I, you know, I could remember things that I was doing when I heard a song that really touched me, that really made a difference. You know, I could remember when I was working on the windmill, the pit there where we were going to pour the concrete for it, and hearing the song about the men that they brought this man carried him to Jesus, and it began to talk about what each one of them must have been. And then here it said the fourth one, and there's nothing in the scripture that says this. It was just what the man was thinking and wrote the song. But then here was the fourth one, and he was Lazarus. He had faith to believe in what he was doing there, that Christ was able to do. Why? Because of what had happened to him. You and I today, when I heard that, I begin to realize what Christ has done for me. You and I today, when that conversion takes place in our lives, we're never the same after that. Why? Because we got something real that we can tell the world about, that we can pass on, just like Lazarus. There's even wrapped and bound in grave clothes. They said he already was there, but Christ spoke to him. And I don't know how, but the power of God not only raised him up, but he carried him forth from the tomb. He'll still bound. And Christ said, loose him, let him go. You will answer that. That same power of God still exists. And when we come to know God, we can be born again and converted into a new creature that the world will look at and wonder what took place. But you can begin to tell them just what a change God made in you. You know, if we have truly been born again and converted from that old man into that new creature that Christ speaks about, each and every one of us should have a testimony that we can tell lost people of what God has done for us. And if you don't have a testimony, then I'm afraid you haven't got a hold of the real thing. Because, you know, I've heard people that was supposed to be a Christian for 40 years and then stand and say, "I thank God for saving me," and sit down. And that was basically all their testimony was. Well, you know, "I thank God for saving me." But I thank God, it didn't quit right there. God has been with me down across the years, hearing and answering prayers, working miracles, providing things that there was no other way but coming by a mighty hand of God. You and I today, if we could say, "I thank God He saved me," that's a wonderful start. But that was just the start of a Christian life. We should have things to praise God about every day that we live. If you've got a child or a grandchild that you prayed about, and it was born and you look down and you see its little ears was right on the side of its head, they were formed right. You see its little eyes were right. Its lips were right, its nose were right. And you look at those fingers and the toes and its limbs, and you just look at it and see, oh, a perfect specimen of a human being. God already has done a great blessing for you in blessing you to see that happy. And each and every one happy. Every time God does something for each and every day happy. Oh, what a blessing it is happy that we can praise God for, that we can testify about happy. The prayers that God heard and answered happy. You and I today happy. Is it every prayer that we pray happy that God answers the way we want Him to answer? Well, I thank God, happy. He's answered so many of mine, happy. The devil can't make me now, happy. That God is real, happy. Why? Because I feel instead, happy. Within my soul, happy. You and I today, happy. God wants us to be changed from that old man, happy, into a new creature, that we might not only be a changed person for us, but that we might be a changed person for all those that we meet, that they can see Christ in us. You know, that's what's wrong with the world today. They don't see very many Christians. They see a lot of church members, but they don't see very many Christians. And there's a great big difference. The church members blend in with the world because they're really not changed. But a true born-again Christian has been converted, and they've changed. And when they walk down the street, they will sort of stand out. And that will be because they won't dress like the world. They won't be interested in the latest styles. You won't be seeing them wearing the rock T-shirts with all of the graffiti and things wrote on them. You know, I have seen girls in town wearing jeans and T-shirts with things wrote on them. And I'm talking about girls that's only maybe just entering their teen years, 13, 14, 15. And things wrote on them that you wonder, what on earth is in the heart of the mom and dad that will allow them to go out with that on? What it's inviting to happen to that girl. And, you know, boys, the way parents will allow them to go out, they belong to a church. And they'll allow their children, they will spend their money to buy what that child wants, that it might be accepted with its peers, no matter what kind of a signal it's sending out. That lets you know the heart of that mom and dad is not truly right with God. Because you're not going to be worried about what the child's peers think of it. You're going to be worried about what God thinks of you as a parent and what you're passing on to that child. And me and you, if we've been converted, then we're not going to be raising our children to be children of the devil. The Bible says for us to bring them up in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. If we don't teach them the things of God, who's going to? They're not going to learn it out there in the world. They're going to learn it at home, at mom and dad's knee. Seeing examples lived in front of them, if we've been converted, then teach them. Listen to this again, what Christ said here to Peter. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Me and you, Christ also has prayed for us. You'll find many times Christ prayed prayers, and it included all those that was going to believe in Him. If we believe in Him, here He said, and I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Each one of us, when the devil comes up and says, you might as well put up your hands and quit, just remember, the Son of God prayed that our faith would fail and say, no, I'm going to hold on to the hands of God because I know He cares for me. I know He did something for me that nobody else could do. And you and I, then after we've been converted, He said, strengthen thy brethren. Pass it on. Help bind together with the other Christian people that you might become a strong force against evil. Stand up and speak out against it. You know, we're living in a world today where people do not want to stand up and be different. But that Christian that's truly being converted from that old man, he's going to be different. He's not going to blend in. He's not going to look like the world. He's going to be that peculiar bird. You know, you can take a bunch of chickens, no matter what breed you want to get, and you can have them out there in the barnyard, and they can be pretty to look at, but you go set a parent down the middle of them. Anybody walks up, they're going to see that odd one before they notice all the rest of them. You set a buzzard down there, an eagle, whatever. The odd one's the one's going to stand out, isn't it? Well, if we're a Christian today, the biggest majority of the people we're coming in contact with is of the world. So we're going to stand out like that odd bird in the barnyard. And because of that, people don't think of a chicken as being a violent bird. But all you got to do is take a chicken of a different breed into a barnyard where they've never seen it and set it down there in the mix of them. And you watch all the chickens in the barnyard to start picking on that one. Me and you, if we're that odd bird, don't be surprised when the world tries to tear you down. But just lift your voice and pray and talk to God and thank God that you've been born again, that you have something that is different from what the world has. While we get some song to sing, please, if you've not been converted, I beg you, get in touch with God that you might be changed. Come and repent that you might be that new creature in Christ Jesus. You know, each and every one of us, Christ come and died for us no matter how young, how old we are. He died that we might know Christ for ourselves as Lord and Savior. And if you want to know Him, here at this Christmas season, most people think of Christ is that little bitty baby. But Christ did not stay the baby. He grew up to be a man and hung on Calvary and died to be our Savior, our Lord, our Master. And if we'll repent, we'll find it wasn't done in vain, but it can change us. While we sing, will you come? Will you come?